Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good morning, and you are looking live at the Houston skyline, live from East River 9, as we will be here live all day, I believe all day.
Yes,
we're going to be here, Dell.
The entire station.
And the watch party starts at, it starts at whenever you want to start it. The match starts at 2 o'clock. The U.S. is on the clock today. Game number 2, win and you're in. A decision and you may be in, but a win and you are in, and you are a favorite today taking on Australia, the U.S. team against Australia, the 2 o'clock kickoff. Mexico and Canada, the two other North American teams with free passes into the tournament, even though Mexico is a for sure qualifier anyway. Both win yesterday. Canada obliterates Qatar. 6-0, that was an easy one, not hard at all. Most points scored, so most goals scored so far in the World Cup. And then Mexico wins 1-0 in what was described by one of my basketball playing friends as, is this soccer's version of the four corners after watching the first half? Four corners is so old school, you have to go all the way back into the 80s to find that. And it used to be when there was no shot clock, guys would just stall. Every once in a while, Dean Smith, who had unbelievable talent, would just go into a stall. Real smart, Dean. That's not analytics would hate stalling with the best talent. That doesn't make any sense. But that's South Korea just hung on to it forever and ever. Mexico was content to let them do it. In the end, South Korean's goalie made a huge mistake. Mexico capitalized, 1-0. They win the group. They won 2, so they're automatically winners of that group. Mexico will move on. And the U.S. takes on Australia, as I mentioned. Also, the Houston Astros are back at it on MLB TV tonight. They're 6 games under 500, but they just got done winning a series against a less than spectacular Detroit team. They now take on a Cleveland team with an actual winning record, 40-35. And going for the Astros is Imai tonight. He of the 6.43 ERA.
You feel good about tonight?
Not as good. I mean, they don't have a great pitcher. Tanner Bibby is going for them. I mean, he's not great. Houston is somehow.
Does he have a working arm? Then I feel better about
it. He appears to have a functional arm.
I feel better.
He's given up 15 home runs this year. But he does have a functional arm that can throw a baseball.
Then I think the Guardians got a shot when Imai's on the other side.
Yeah, they got a shot for sure. The Astros somehow a small favorite, even with Imai on the mound. He has he's not been good this year per se, but that's the bad news. The good news is he's been absolutely terrible in his first two starts. Well, I shouldn't say terrible. He was terrible his last time out. Went 2/3 of an inning against Kansas City. You guys know. He got wrecked. That was that 9-0 start. And then Imai made it 9-5 immediately after the first round. He couldn't get out of the first round. I mean, the first inning. So, but you know, when I look at this, actually in his last 3 starts, or his last 4 starts, 3 of them have been pretty good. So we'll see. We'll see. that's going on. But, there's a lot more of those games to go. Not as many World Cup games, so I think a lot of attention is going to be on that watch party. On that match, and there'll be watch parties all over the city. But we invite you out here. This is a phenomenal spot, great view. If you want to come out of here and hit some golf balls, you want to play around on the par 3 course, you can do that. They've got here at Birdies, which is their clubhouse, so to speak. A lot of great drinks, food. spots to watch, and then they've got multiple TVs. They got a big TV set up outside where it's specially designed television. It's right in the sun. You can, and it's, there is no glare. You can see it perfectly. So should be a really fun time out here. The whole station will be out here. Make sure you get out here. Okay, let me ask you this. Dell's rolling with me today. Pulisic, he's still working on his own. Does that mean he's not going to play tonight? I haven't seen any designation about whether or not he's going to be available. But as of yesterday, they said he was still trying to train and work out on his own and recover on his own. For those who don't know, he's got a calf injury. And came out after the first half in their first match and has not been training with the team at all. Is that an indicator in the soccer world that he's not playing?
As you might imagine, everything's very secretive. So I don't believe the media has like access to the entire practice. Mm-hmm. They get to see what he's on at the very start. And the last couple of days, it's been individual work. He'll come out a little bit later. He'll be in the gym doing some conditioning. And then he'll do the individual work with a trainer or a coach. It is an indication that there's some doubt whether he'll start. There may be a question of his availability overall, but you should not be surprised if he's not part of the starting 11, considering this knock happened last Friday, and from what the media has seen, they never saw him doing team stuff. So there's a reasonable belief, if you have it, it's reasonable to believe that at a minimum he won't be available for the starting 11. Maybe he can give you 35 minutes. Maybe they play it cautious overall and say, because he has a history of when these things happen, it doesn't stop with the original injury, because I guess how his body works, he starts to overcompensate and then it leads to something else. So they want not like a major thing, but something else starts to ache. So they want to be careful here. And beating Paraguay 4-1 helps you maybe hold a guy back and maybe only play him as a sub, because you have a bit of a cushion.
If you lose tonight, if you were to lose, Australia wins a group.
Correct. They would have to head-to-head over you and the other opponent that could possibly compete with them.
Now, you would want Paraguay and Turkey to draw, so neither one of them catch three.
I mean, if you won tonight, a Paraguay win is good for you because it's now head to head. That's the first tiebreaker.
You'd want Paraguay to win.
And then you would win the group, because Turkey couldn't catch you even if they beat you, and then you have beaten the other two teams on 3 points, and then now you can rest whoever you want to.
I guess you don't technically win if you win tonight. That doesn't
you don't win tonight if Turkey walks away from their match with three. Because then they can beat you and have six and tied with your six.
You're going to – if you win tonight, you're in, though, the next round.
Yes, if you win tonight, you are into the next round.
So does that change? You think that changes how the U.S. approaches today's game? Because you don't – I mean, I'll just call them Turkey. It just feels better to say
okay.
that. I mean, they're not considered a layup.
They were supposed
to be the second best team in the group.
They were considered to be your greatest challenge, and they had a bad showing in their first group game, and that makes people think differently. But we have seen teams lose the first group game, not look great, and then find their form the next two, and certainly get through. So I wouldn't overlook them. That's why the game against the team considered to be the lesser opponent coming in is so important. You get this one. You've got six, and then you have the advantages looking at how the other game went and determining how you want to play your third. It'd be great to walk into your final group stage game knowing you have first place tied up, and then you can start to manage the minutes of some of your guys. Because I expect if Pulisic is not able to go, that could make some things change as far as who's in your starting 11 beyond his own replacement. But if the other 10 that played in that started against Paraguay are starting in this next match, then you can get to manage the minutes for those guys in game three if you walk away with the win. So it's all about managing the group and your team's fitness. So this is why you want to win this one no matter what. Sean and I were talking about this yesterday about the maturity, not of the team, but of the American soccer fan. They got a great show last Friday. That's generally not how this is going to go. We love to see the team attack. We love to see them be so prolific with their chances.
People upset if they don't look. Yeah. There's a lot of people who want this to be the norm now.
Yes, that's why I was talking about the maturity of the casual American soccer fan. A 1-0 victory is great. It is great. It doesn't matter how you get it. Just get it. And then you can start to maneuver for group game three. I know people expect the show because they got one in game one. I would love to put another 3 goals on, particularly with the back and forth between Australia and U.S. pundit, at least one particular U.S. pundit that has got all the Australians upset and apparently extra motivated. The whole continent is upset and really wants to beat the U.S. So if you can get this 1-1-0, however it goes, then you're golden into match day three, at least for this group. You can figure out what you want to do. So get the win, and then they will make decisions after that.
Well, it's going to be I'm excited. I'm excited to see what I've got to go into Kaplan Sinus Center and I've been talking about have this nasal procedure they do, fix my deviated septum, get all the junk out of my sinuses. I invite all of you. I'm doing this, and then I can tell you all about it because it's something a lot of people. I think I'm going to have my daughter do this as well. But one of the things. So the reason I'm telling you this is I'll probably leave about 5 minutes early, so it'd be like 9:55. But because I have to get there by 10:15. However, I'm already timing everything. Like, okay, I've got to be on anesthesia. This process, I'll be getting out of there at about 1:15. I should be back at my house by 2. Because I'm on anesthesia, the wife has to drive me home. I'm like, I should catch my snap by 2:00. I'll be able to watch. And then I'm already trying to figure out, is there any way I can go out and drink with the Dutch fans who are in town? Because I'm going to, for my first ever World Cup match, I'm going to Netherlands, Sweden tomorrow. So I bit the bullet, paid for the ticket prices, and man, am I glad we paid when we did. Me and my buddy, because those prices now have gone up. They've more than doubled. The Cape Verde Saudi Arabia tickets, which were down in the hundreds, are now the same tickets are over 700. They started at 400, dropped down into like the 140 range, and then have spiked ever since Cabo Verde got the ever since they got the draw against Spain. Everything's gone, and since people got to see what their female fans look like.
Sure.
I think that may be part of it. You had warned us this could be a thing.
Yeah.
This could be a thing. And now all of a sudden the tickets have gone up. I'm officially going to be cheering for them. I'm going to support. I've decided I'm Dutch tomorrow.
Okay.
And then when I go to that match, I'm from the Cape.
So you are going to be put under. We had this talk before the show began. Do you think it's wise to go out and party after that type of procedure when you have to be driven home, when you can't be trusted to drive a car?
I have Vicodin. I don't know if that's a sign that I shouldn't. I can take it. They said, bring this in case you need it for pain.
Okay.
Typically, if I need that.
If you take it.
Probably I shouldn't.
Should you be mixing it with drinks?
No, I know you shouldn't. John would say, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be responsible.
Sure.
Probably not.
But should you even
I definitely shouldn't be driving.
Should you be even out and about?
I'm going to check, and then if I don't get the answer I like, then I'm gonna just
because
check out.
you're not going to listen.
I'm not going to check out.
Do you think you have the ability, once you're told not to do something, to go out to this event and not drink? Once you're there, do you think you can hold off?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I once had tonsillitis when I was at Tulane, and it was a really bad one. And I was taking penicillin to try to kill it off, and it was in the middle of Mardi Gras. And I'm like, whatevs. I was starting to get better, and then I just had a lot of drinks one night.
Sure.
Went right downhill.
Oh, so you
right downhill to the point that I missed the next 4 weeks of school.
So you ignored doctor's orders.
I ignored, and it didn't, and it went poorly for me. So in the past, I've been able if now, like John, but what's
younger.
The point in being out? Yeah, I was when I was younger and dumber. I'm much smarter now.
No, but you were better. You had a much better ability to recuperate.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're older.
Yeah.
So do you think you should test fate?
Probably not. But and also, if I can't drink, I'm kind of the mind, like, why do I want to be
this
out
is what
there?
I'm saying.
It still might be fun jumping around, dancing around with the,
what, the Dutch girls?
Fans.
Sure.
No, the Dutch fans.
The Dutch fans.
The
okay.
Dutch fans.
Okay.
Not the Dutch girls. Okay. I don't know if they're known for having the good looking ones.
It's a fan base.
I mean, every World Cup fan base
has attractive women.
Even if you only have three, the cameras will find them.
Yes, they'll find the one. Yeah.
The cameras will find them. And I saw somebody complaining about, you know, this is a
the
sporting event. Yeah, the objectification, like,
shut up, you stupid ass.
Yeah.
Shut up, you dummy. Is that what you
like,
would say to them?
Well, what are you talking about? First of all, that person wants to be on camera.
They're there.
They want to be on
you
camera.
You know how people, when they're seen on the big screen, they go, oh, look, it's me.
Yeah, they get
me.
All excited.
People love that.
They get all excited. And the cameramen or camera women, whoever it is, they are doing what they believe is their job and finding attractive people in the crowd. And sometimes it's guys. So to me, it's even Steve.
Sometimes it's guys.
Not as I'm just trying to make it seem like they're not.
So let's get back to the pertinent question. You have. Right. Do you think that if you come in on Monday wrecked because you didn't follow doctor's orders, is great for Kaplan that you are incapacitated or not even showing up? Because it's going to seem like whatever procedure you had did this to you if you don't show up on Monday. So you think that's good for the sponsor?
Well, I mean, if you put it like that, he told me after this I would be able to technically go on to work the next day.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel like probably.
And if you do something to hamper your recovery process.
Well, I'm not going to be like John. I'm not going, over the top. I don't go over the top, rarely.
Let a little girl from Amsterdam, not a little girl, but an attractive woman from Amsterdam hand you a drink or two. We'll see how you respond.
I'll just bring Nicole with me.
Well, okay.
See what they think then. Get her.
Get her?
I'll just say, get her. You want me to sick my girl on you? She doesn't play. My wife wouldn't be a fighter, I don't think, in the... Like, she wouldn't get into a fight. She would just say some very jarring,
so
hurtful.
She's not like Beth from Yellowstone? She's not going to go punch a girl?
No, but she would use some hateful language.
I just think,
and say some hateful things to whoever.
While I hope you have all the fun you want, I'm more thinking about Dr. Kaplan and what it looks like for him if you don't show up on
Monday. Like I said, I'm hoping that they say, yeah, you can go.
Have a couple drinks.
They say, just don't push it. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to push it. I wasn't going to push it anyway. I got a match tomorrow to get to. I'm not going to push it. Now, what they may tell me is, no, it'd be better off tomorrow. Okay, I'll wait till tomorrow. But I already reached out to some Dutch YouTuber to find out where they were going to be tonight and tomorrow because I want to go get amongst it.
Wear orange to fit in?
I have some blue and orange from the Astros.
Uh-huh.
I don't have just pure orange. And I don't think I'm going to buy a shirt for you. I don't care that much.
Ah, got it. So you're just going to go in your casual grays and show up with the Dutch and hang out?
I mean...
You're going to
stand
out.
Do I have to have a certain color on?
The Dutch wear orange. That's
what
I'm saying.
Is this the movie Colors where I've got to be red or blue?
So
I've
just
got to be orange or...
You're going to a group of people who love that color and are going to be decked out in it, from face paint to shirts to jerseys to shorts, whatever. They're going to be in orange.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's their nickname again? La Orange, whatever their nickname
they're
is.
They're the Orange Army or something.
Whatever
like
they're
that.
Called.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should probably try to fit in, or you're going to stand out. And they're going to go, German!
German.
And they
I'll
have
say,
a,
no, American. You love us. Remember Buc-ee's and Canes.
They have a rivalry with the German soccer related, maybe some other stuff too. Who
Buc-ee's
knows?
And Canes. But, have you seen the videos of what Scotland is doing in Boston? They took over Fenway Park the other day.
I saw that.
They're having whole ass marches down the street with bagpipes where they march like a mile or a mile and a half to Fenway Park. It's a huge party there, and I'm saying, all right, Dutch, it's time for you to bring your people here and to do this. The Dutch chant where they all bounce side to side and all that, I want to be at some of this stuff.
Well, then put on the orange.
And you know what? Then I saw the U.S. fans yesterday
doing their chant. It's so terrible.
Oh, my God. They're trying
awful.
To make stuff up on the move.
It's atrocious.
Like, this is just never
going to
work.
Film yourself trying to figure it out. It's awful.
This is never going to work. See, the Aggies have a lot of stuff they do.
Yeah,
college football. There's some college football fans who do. It's like Wisconsin fans jumping around to start the fourth quarter.
Sure.
They don't have soccer chants. They don't have, I wish we did. I wish I was a fan. When I went to the Berlin soccer match at Bundesliga when I was in Germany. Couldn't believe what a, like, the fans were, it was insane. The entire match, they're up chanting the entire match. They're leading them for different cheers. People are on, like, these ladders, mm-hmm. and there's leaders in their group telling them what chants they're going to do. And I just thought, we could never, I could never see us having any of that stuff.
Well, you know, some fans for the English national team sing Mr. Brightside, which is a killer song, and they commandeered that song from us, and I was reading this back and forth between
What is the deal with Country Roads Take Me Home?
I don't know how that came about, yeah. but maybe because there's a lot of country roads in Scotland. I don't know, but this English fan was attacking an American fan for not having any like original songs that we can sing, and he goes, "You stole Mr. Brightside from us. That's an American band. That's not a UK band. What are you talking about? You guys don't have anything original.
You stole Oasis from us, though, mate."
Yeah.
And then the only English soccer match I went to, Arsenal, you had to have a ticket to get into this one bar. And, like, the most stereotypical thing, as soon as an Oasis song came on, the whole place just started erupting and singing the song. Like, you guys have heard this a billion times. But it's probably like us when Fat Pat comes on with Tops Drop. It's probably similar.
Exactly,
it's
like
probably
that.
A similar thing. So, anyway, culture. Let's get out there. A lot of fans are going to be headed in town. If you get a chance to see them out at bars or whatever, buy them a drink. But don't get them sweets to hotels and get them to see country music stars and all this stuff. Freddie and his friends unless they're going to reciprocate and do it for me, too much. That's too much. All right, we're going to break it right now. It's 7:21. If you guys ever want to jump in, you know the number, 713-780-3776.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Tonight we're going to flip and trip and let it all hang out
tonight. We got to say what was I going to say? Well, we're back here at East River 9. I got something I want to bring up in a second. But East River 9 is where we'll have the watch party throughout the day today. And the party's going to be going on beforehand as we're here all day, the station. The match starts at 2 o'clock U.S. versus Australia. So, obviously, we've got the pre-match, we've got the match, we've got the post-match all here at East River 9. This place is really awesome. If you get a chance to come, the skyline is incredible. I brought Bun B out here to film something for John Daspit for his NIL commercials. If you've ever seen it and seen the skyline, you know it's probably the best view that you're going to find in the city of Houston. They've got pickleball. They've got a par 3 9-hole golf course. They've got everything. They've got everything. And the food and drinks are great out here. So make sure you come out. And if it's not today, come out for the – you know, for any of your major golf tournaments, your small ones, your watch parties, any Astros game, World Cup, it doesn't matter. They've got a lot of TVs here, and this is a great, great setup out here at East River 9. So I did mention that we were going to – there's a few different topics I want to get into today. One of them that is taking place is – this is actually, I think, kind of a big one. And it involves Major League Baseball looking to change how they operate fundamentally from a draft standpoint. And there's some major stuff here. Major League Baseball proposed widespread changes to its amateur entry system that would cut signing bonuses by more than $150 million annually. So basically, they're tired of paying guys who don't end up panning out. And we already know MLB is about to take a very firm stance against the Players Association. There is going to be a work stoppage, 100%. This is unless the Players Association backs off and says, "Okay, owners, we'll have a conversation with you, and we'll do." There will be some give and take, which they never do. There's going to be a work stoppage after the season is over. That's just going to happen. But this is going to cut signing bonuses by more than $150 million annually. It's going to make high school players ineligible for the domestic draft, which is just the draft, and then institute an international draft so that the Dodgers and Yankees and Mets and, you know, just teams on the coast, they can't be the only ones to get – well, that's just Japanese players, but that would also take into account Houston's success with – with Venezuelans, with Dominican players, with Cubans, with Puerto Ricans. So this would be a massive, massive shift. The proposal made at a collective bargaining meeting with the Players Association called for the domestic draft to be shortened from 20 to 12 hard slotted rounds. The money is the money, period. And we're going from 20 rounds to 12 rounds, so we're not giving out money to 20 rounds full of players. The amateur signing bonus pool would be nearly halved to $200 million, according to the sources. The international draft would cover all amateur players outside the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. So it wouldn't cover Puerto Rico because it's included with the U.S. And it would also be 12 rounds with a $200 million bonus pool. So it would be the exact same thing. The amateur entry plan comes after Major League Baseball's initial proposal to institute a salary cap system to govern the game. Collective bargaining agreement ends December 1st. They've chafed likewise, so the sides are in the midst of high-stakes bargaining the highest in a generation with players vehemently opposed to a cap. They don't like any of this, obviously. Major League Baseball players have had everything they've wanted literally forever.
Well, here's the statement.
Like NBA backed off, went cap. It's not hurting anyone. If you're a good player, you make $50, $60 million a year. Not a problem.
I think people, players certainly, maybe the middle tier get a little bit hurt. They also mentioned as far as team building, when with the second apron and all that stuff, it hinders you keeping a team together. That's why some owners make financial decisions. You heard Dolan said, "Look, I'll write any check that you want, except for the second apron check."
Yeah, he said,
I'm not writing that.
And Boston Celtics won a championship and wanted to immediately sell their team because they didn't want to hit the second.
And they sold off Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis to avoid the apron penalty. So MLB's PA statement in response says, "Today, MLB made another set of proposals that are flat-out bad for baseball, ones that would cripple the next generation of players and damage the future of our game. As far as the minimum draft age, it would rise to 20 for domestic players, and then the minimum age for an international player would go from 16 to 18. So you won't see those. The Astros signed some 16-year-old from Venezuela to a contract. That stuff would go away, and the players are proposed. Look, this is just part of the negotiation, and it didn't strike a chord with the players. They don't like it. We're in for a likely long, arduous labor dispute.
Yeah, I don't see the owners backing off of this one. I can't see this. This is not a Strait of Hormuz where you're going to negotiate because it's hurting the game The owners are going to say, no, we'll take our lumps financially on the short term, because long term this has to happen. I don't know how the Players Association could say it's bad for the future of the game. I understand it's going to cripple the next generation of players. I don't know how it's bad for baseball. And here's why I say this. It looks like everything that they're talking about. So they're also talking about the elimination of competitive balance picks currently awarded annually to lower revenue and smaller market teams. That's their idea of trying to create parity. Well, what difference does it make when you just sell off your players whenever they get good? You're never truly competitive, and that's because the smaller market teams financially cannot compete at the same level. We know there's a drastic disparity in the amount of money the different teams can spend. What this looks like is they're saying, we're going to, the minimum draft age of 20 for domestic players, raising the minimum age for international players from 16 to 18. So they're eliminating all young players from this. So, yeah, it will hurt young players. I think it does. You do get, maybe it helps teams have more information about a player, make better, wiser decisions. You don't have to throw bad money at a player who you don't have enough information on. I mean, clearly this is a financial thing, first and foremost. But also some of the elements of this, where especially international draft, you're spreading out the really good talent, and it looks like you're trying to bring some parity back. And then when you eliminate the competitive balance picks, you're saying, we're not going to hand you picks for not spending money and being bad. You don't get that anymore. We're going to level the playing field with international players with a draft. We're going to give you an opportunity not to pay as much, to where I'm sure they don't want players who are good not drafted because you're worried you can't sign them. So I do think Major League Baseball is trying to do this for on the grounds of two different tent poles. Number one, eliminate massive expenditures that lead to nothing. And number two, and besides the fact that they want to get control of the spending, I think parity is a big part of this. They're trying to make this a more equitable sport. I don't know if they're ever going to do that, though, because the local TV deals and radio deals are always going to be so vastly different. But it looks like this is in part, especially with the international draft the international draft with international players and taking those players to the age of 18, that feels like something that frankly feels like something that would maybe create a little bit more parity for teams if they got some of these great international players.
I feel like the conversation about this particular subject matter, parity, small market teams, has been going on since I knew that baseball existed. Since I knew that baseball was a sport, I've been hearing about big market teams have a distinct advantage. Small market teams will never have the opportunity to compete. And I just started to look over the most recent World Series winners, or even the people who, or even the teams that make the World Series. Outside of the Kansas City Royals, in 2015, and they won the AL a couple times in a row in 14 to 15, and won the World Series one time going through the Astros to do it. When's the last? Is St. Louis the smallest market you would consider? When we talk about these teams competing, and we're going back about a decade or so or more with St. Louis. So this has been a thing, and it goes
more than a decade.
St. Louis, the last time they made the World Series, it looks like 2013. So this has been a thing, and they haven't been able to fix it. Why do I have any faith, at least what they think is a fix? Why do I have any faith that whatever comes out of this labor agreement, a team like Pittsburgh or will be able to keep a Paul Skeen?
Well, you can't unless you can create some boundaries that allow you. Like, if everything has to be an 8 to 10 year deal, you can't compete. If the Pirates could say, if you could hold a player for, if you could do a 3 year supermax deal, they might be willing to do 3 years, and the player would make more money, and they would get to the market quicker. If you say a max length of a contract is 6 years, the NBA doesn't let you have 8 year contracts. NFL doesn't have 8 year contracts. Major League Baseball is working off of old parameters that nobody works off of anymore. Think about that. Major League Baseball does everything that no other sport does, and they just want to keep it that way. And I get it. It's good for the players. Players have all the control after 6 years. This would be better potentially for all of Major League Baseball just because you would institute some contract guideline, guardrails. You don't spend as much up front for players who aren't good. International players, I think that's the big one. Everyone has a chance at getting, Juan Soto. Everyone has a chance at getting a guy like that. So everyone has a chance of getting a Yordan. So that would potentially help a team be more competitive. The fans might start coming out. Because we've seen when the Reds and the Pirates, all the Brewers, all these teams have been really good in years past, but it's just been a long time. The Rays are cooked. The Rays and the Marlins will never have teams. I don't know that they'll ever have fan bases that are rabid for them.
I guess you would go Tampa as far as when I was thinking of smaller markets.
Tampa's smart.
But they're smart in what they're very smart in what they do.
Yeah, they just need to sustain. So, and they need to have a financial model where they can sustain. And some of this will be you have to spend a certain amount of money.
And even Tampa's like, the 11th largest. It's just that they don't have.
Are they? They're the 11th largest.
Largest media market. Yeah, Tampa,
wow.
St. Petersburg. Yeah,
and they don't act like that. But they're a smart team.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. But you also have to have a floor where, look, guys, you got to spend a certain amount in this new collective bargaining agreement, because if you want us to have parity, you have to spend to create parity as well. Let's break it right here. We'll get a quick break. When we come back, we will. If you have any questions or comments about anything we're talking about, jump in whenever you'd like. Right now, I want to talk about Zadig Jewelers. Zadig Jewelers is the jeweler of choice for me and for thousands of Houstonians, and it has been for over four decades. For over four decades, they've been off Post Oak making memories come true. And why don't you do the same thing for a nice opportunity for Father's Day, for example. This is something a lot of people don't think about or don't talk about, but Father's Day is right around the corner. It's this weekend. It's coming up this weekend. So if you're looking to head to the 28,000 square feet, two-level store, they will have everything you're looking for. Don't drop the ball. You can get awesome luxury watches and refined gifts for dads. They've got the world's best brands watches, you know, Omega, Breitling, Tudor, IWC, Mont Blanc cufflinks. If you want to get some cufflinks, they've got pens, really nice pens. They've got everything to celebrate that MVP in your life. So make sure you hook dad up or hook yourself up if you want to. Swing by their Post Oak showroom and check them out on Zadig.com. Trust me, this is going to be a winning move for Father's Day and really any occasion. It's Zadig Jewelers, family owned and Houston proud.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
See, AJ will play music that I give him, unlike you. And see, you could have some Little Sims if you would just let me cook a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. You send me music a minute before. Hey, you just walk in and go, hey.
I did email him earlier.
Yeah, exactly. There's a difference. Let's be honest with the people.
That's true. You saw yesterday, I posted a video yesterday. I'd never seen it before. It was put on YouTube 8 years ago. I was in a rabbit hole, as you know, Dell. You walked in where squatters were getting their stuff pushed in.
Wow.
This guy named Squatter Hunter.
Very descriptive.
By Squatter Hunter. It's this guy who literally squats on squatters. Mm-hmm. I guess there's an A&E show. And so I got in a rabbit hole of squatters. And I had, as you saw, like 14 YouTube links opened up.
You don't close windows.
Well, no, I had them all. Well, I still had to watch all those.
Oh, you still had those.
Yeah, I open them up, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go bang, bang,
bang.
You're
like, that one looks good, so I can't.
Yeah.
I want to make sure.
So I open them first. I open them first, and then I start watching them one by one. So I was watching my YouTube with squatter videos. And for some reason, I don't know how, but on one of the, you know, For You things, it said, no doubt plays at University of Houston in 1992. I'm like, what? 1992 U of H campus. I was like, this can't be true. And sure enough, I went to the link, and it is literally Gwen Stefani, and I guess who no doubt was at that time. I don't know if it still was by like 96, but this cute little Gwen Stefani out there mm-hmm. in a Notre Dame cheerleader costume for some reason is out jumping around and singing and doing her little thing with you have all the horns and the bass players and right there on the U of H campus in 92.
I had no idea.
I'd never seen this before.
That's fine, but let's get into what you told your significant other about.
I told my wife
yesterday.
What would
have happened if you were on that
campus?
Yeah,
I told her about this video. I didn't show it to her yet, but I told her she's not going to want to watch. She's not going to care. But a lot of things that I think are funny and I care about, she doesn't care about for some reason. But I said, there's a video of Gwen Stefani at U of H's campus performing, and I'm just letting you know that you are lucky that I wasn't walking around campus that day, because it might not have been great for you and Gavin Rossdale in the future. Like there would have been no Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani. We know they broke up, and then there would have been no me and her, because me and Gwen, it would have been me and Gwen probably.
You think, well, at the time, I believe, mm-hmm. it's part of the lore of No Doubt, she was dating, I don't know if the guy's the bass player or the drummer, Tony,
yeah.
I think.
Excuse
me, the bass player or the guitarist. Tony.
I don't know how long they dated, but they dated
for
a little
while.
Bit, yeah.
Enough
He's
to create,
ugly.
Okay, enough to create some great songs,
yeah.
Even about the breakup. You think you would have stolen her away from her like childhood love?
Based on what I've seen, yes.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about over 30 years
She
ago,
did
Lance
upgrade
Zierlein.
To Gavin Rossdale, but...
But at the time, you would have just been a young Lance Zierlein.
Yeah.
You think you had
Playing
enough
basketball.
To pull the front woman of a big-time band, even though they weren't as big-time at the time? You think you had that in you?
I think I had a better chance in 92 than 95.
What happened to
95? She just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Oh.
I got to catch her when she's not sure about herself. Maybe she's a little down. Like, are we even going to make it?
Oh, you're one of those guys.
I have to go down on the front end.
You find the vulnerable.
And that's right.
You're like a hyena.
You make it sound predatory.
Yeah.
It's not predatory. I'm just saying.
She was a little down. She wasn't at their highest peak.
Yeah. I can't have her super confident.
You think I could sneak right in?
Yeah.
I don't know. She might have been really confident.
She seemed pretty confident when she's performing.
Or maybe performing is just the show, and then when she's just she's not as confident.
She strikes me as confident.
Sometimes I think you should listen to the things you say.
I just think if I had had a little bit of time and we were talking Rockets or something back then.
And she was like a gazelle who's limping a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought you could have been able to swoop in.
Didn't have to be limping. I just need to get her singled out and do some funny stuff, say some funny
stuff. Singled out.
Yeah, you can't be in a big group. Show her.
That's what a predator does.
The comedy.
They make sure to separate the weak from the herd.
I mean, it does. That is actually true.
Yes, you are.
In all the videos I've seen. I might have just walked by and she may have said, "Hey boy," like something like I was walking by.
I don't know that the UH quad is like the Serengeti, like what you're setting up for yourself right now. She would have had her band around her. So how would you have been able to get her away from
know.
The band?
That's the thing, we're never going to know.
You weren't there.
And I'm just telling you, and then at some point, I would have been as you said, mm-hmm. I would have been running around in circles. In big circles, and so I probably would have gotten famous as well. Sure. My draft stuff would have been even more famous.
You think you would have stuck with the draft?
You
think it would have been in radio if you...
I would have been a house husband or...
I don't think she would have liked the
she
house
She probably
husband.
Wouldn't have liked you're, that. So, I'd probably have to do draft stuff.
But you're creative. You do voices. She might have liked you.
I might have been like, who's that guy that does all the voices? McFarlane.
Seth?
I might have been a Seth McFarlane.
You could have done voiceover stuff in Hollywood.
I could have done voices.
Instead, you're on your friend's couch and never made out to UH.
No, I wouldn't have. I didn't make it out there. I stayed in my apartment. I didn't know they were there. I didn't even know who they were.
Why are you fiddling with
then?
My stuff?
Oh, okay. Well, my stuff works now. But so yeah, I just looked at that video and I thought,
I know how that sounds, everybody.
It's
fiddling
that whole,
with my equipment. Filling with the radio
should
equipment.
Should have said that.
Yeah.
But I did watch that video, and I just thought, man, this could have, the butterfly effect, what could have.
Sure, what could have been? You wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't have any of my kids. I wouldn't be at East River 9.
You wouldn't have the kids.
I wouldn't be at East River 9. You know where I'd probably be? I'd be in L.A. watching the U.S. take on Australia because me and Gwen would be in a suite somewhere.
Oh, you think it's a long-lasting marriage?
If not, I'd have upgraded to Dua Lipa. And that little, that little actor, Tellum Bellum or whatever, he's
Callum
gone.
Turner.
So
in this scenario where you meet Gwen
Stefani, I'm glad none of this stuff happened. I'm much happier with what I'm doing. I'm just saying it could have gone way different had I been there when cute little Gwen Stefani was dancing around in her high ponytail with her blonde high ponytail and her Notre Dame.
I'm going to say something you're not going to like.
I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to agree with it.
You ain't got the swag for Gwen Stefani. You ain't got the swag.
For at that
not
time.
Not even in 92.
At that time, probably
you
not.
Ain't got this one.
If I'm being honest,
you're not. And she was a Southern California.
She
girl.
Was an Orange County girl.
No chance. You wouldn't. You would.
It would have been tough. I would have had to put on a face. I would have had to fake
you
who I was.
Faked it.
Yeah, I would have faked it for sure. I'd have been like, "Oh, I surf too."
What really in Galveston?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not from here.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Chile.
You don't. You wouldn't have dressed the way she would have liked.
I'm from Chile.
You would have to put your loafers away.
I didn't have loafers. But yeah, I would.
Topsiders.
Yeah, it wouldn't. No, I wasn't wearing tie. I didn't like topsiders either. I've been pretty much basketball shoes all the time. So
yeah, no Vans in that closet, were they?
Yep. Nope.
Nah, you wouldn't have had no shot.
No Vans. Yeah, it would have been tough. And she said, "Who's your favorite punk band?" I'm like, "Circle Jerks."
Poison?
What's your favorite? What's
Poison.
Your no, I knew the names, though. I just didn't listen then. I listen more now than I would have then, or would have the when I was in high school.
No Misfits.
I like
albums.
Circle Jerks. Oh my God, what's your favorite song? All of them. I mean, they're all good. They're great. Mm-hmm. The ones that about authority being bad, that one. That one about being a youth. That one about being young and held down by authority. Mm-hmm. That song, the one that they do there.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Kennedys, love Dead Kennedys too. All their anti-authority songs.
Sure.
I'm basically anti-authority, Gwen. Really,
no Butthole Surfers?
No, I wouldn't have said Butthole Surfers. I probably wouldn't have said that. And I would have said, "I'm anti-authority just like you." Really? What do you do? I'm like, I mean, I've shoplifted before. Candy from H-E-B.
When you're six.
I've opened it up, and I've got like two things of chocolate almonds and eaten it. Didn't even pay.
I'm glad you have this belief in yourself. I just don't think it would have worked out.
I don't think so either.
You wouldn't have been what she's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, but we'll never know. That's the great thing is we're never going to know.
So you'll never, you can delude yourself into thinking you've
got a shot. It's
always
going to be out there.
That's right.
It's always going to be out there. So baseball is trying to fix itself. College football is trying to fix itself as well.
We don't have time for all that.
We'll do that later.
Later.
We got Glenn Davis coming up.
There it is.
We're going to talk soccer World Cup. The U.S. back in action today against Australia. Mexico won yesterday. Today, the U.S. needs to keep pace, even though they're not in the same group, so it doesn't actually matter. But we've always got that little U.S.
Yeah,
Mexico
we don't
want to
follow up the other two CONCACAF teams winning with a bad performance. They won yesterday. Let's win it, and let's advance to the knockout stage.
And Glenn Davis will join us, and we'll talk about that. I saw Glenn yesterday in studio, as a matter of fact. But he calls all the matches here at Houston Stadium, as it's currently dubbed, because FIFA bullies everyone around that you can't have your naming rights on them. So we'll catch up with Glenn here in just 1 second on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.